He said in the book of Revelation, to him who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit upon the throne, even as I overcame and am seated upon my Father's throne. You are literally sitting upon a throne of Christ in heaven, if you're born again. That is a place of authority. Did you know you have authority? Man, give me some power. Look out. It's a place of delegated spiritual power and authority from God to issue decrees in His name. People who are in authority don't ask for stuff, they decree stuff. They command it, they order it. That's what authority is all about. You are seated upon a throne of authority in heaven, in Christ, so that you can, by the Holy Spirit, issue decrees that will impact your world. Praise God. Well, what kind of authority are we talking about here? First of all, it is authority over all of the forces of hell. I'm talking the smallest little creepy crawler demon to the big old grizzly bear demons. They are all under His feet, and God has given him to the church to put those things under our feet as well. Because we are seated on the throne of heaven in Christ, we have authority over all principalities and powers, every demonic spirit, every demon, every devil, every unclean spirit. If they are attacking us or if they're attacking someone else, we have been given authority in Christ to command them to stop. And confidently expect to see that result take place. It's Christ in us that is commanding them to stop. And it is Christ that will enforce that authority by His angels and by His Holy Spirit. We can command them to stop, to leave, to never come back. We can command them into the pit. It could be a time of temptation when the enemy is trying to provoke your flesh and get you to sin. And you have the authority in Christ to command him to stop. He may be trying to make you afraid and fearful over something. He may be inflaming that thought in your mind, putting all kinds of violent, scary images in your mind. And you have the authority to tell him to get the heck out of your life and stop that activity and rebuke him and command him to leave. And he will leave because you have the authority of Christ. You are seated upon a throne in the heavens with God. It could be a case of demonically engineered physical affliction. In other words, you're hurting. You're sick. It's because some demon, some demonic force is messing in your body. And that happens a lot. I see it happen a lot whenever you're trying to be obedient to God and go to church or do something right, and the next thing you know, you're all sick and hurting and painful and nauseated. And you're like, where did that come from? If it's happened once, it's happened a million times. I hear it almost every day. Someone's trying to do right by the Lord. They're trying to follow Him. And when they go, it's time to make that decision, time to go to this place, this prayer meeting, this other activity, this fellowship, all of a sudden the enemy will make them sick. And they'll be calling up, I don't know what's wrong, man. I'm woken up and I'm in pain. You are in pain. This is real stuff. We face a real enemy, but we also have even a greater authority, and we are able by that power and authority to rebuke that devil and get him out of your life, and you will be amazed to see how that thing will come off of you. Praise God. The devil doesn't want you following Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to be a fruitful, productive Christian laying havoc to his kingdom. He doesn't want you rescuing people from his clutches. He doesn't want you keeping souls out of hell and people seeing people get liberated and freed up in their life where they have joy, where it used to be some kind of psychotic, neurotic, depressed bondage that they were in. And Jesus Christ comes along and makes them a new man, and all that darkness has to flee. Now they're walking in victory and power and wholeness and health with sufficiency and prosperity. Satan doesn't want that going on. Of course he's going to try to stop that. And we act surprised. What? You're kidding. You're feeling bad? We ought to say, well, I knew that was going to happen. That ain't nothing. Let me come over and lay some hands on you. Man, just rebuke it over the phone. It works just as well. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me a new authority. All right, I'll wrap it up. You guys have been very patient. Thank you. His resurrection gives me a new identity, gives me a new authority. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me a new fellowship with God. Church don't have to be boring no more. Hallelujah. What kind of lie from the pit of hell kept me in bondage in my teenage years when I didn't go to church because I thought it might be boring? When I didn't walk with the Lord because I thought it would be kind of dry and dull and full of rules and regulations. And my soul was being eaten up from the inside out. Sitting around getting high as though that was fun. Get all Google face, and all of a sudden you're like, what do you want to do? I don't know, man. What do you want to do? I don't know, man. What do you want to do? I don't know, man. What do you want to do? Yeah, like there's life in that. You know, give me a break. Then it wears off, you sleep for 2 hours. What? That's not living. Praise God. The resurrection of Jesus Christ gives me new fellowship with God. His blood reconciles us to God. Yes, it's His death and His blood that reconciles us to God, that takes away the sin that used to separate us from God. But the Bible also says if we've been reconciled to God by the death of His Son, how much more are we going to be saved by the life of His Son? When that life starts dwelling in me and filling me up and energizing my body, soul, and spirit and mind. When that life starts radiating in me and all of a sudden I'm having fellowship with someone I never connected with before, and He is transcendent and even beyond the things of this world. How much more will we be saved by His life? I want to use actually an Old Testament passage to illustrate this, if you don't mind. Psalms 16:11. This is so cool. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life." Say this next line with me. "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Isn't that awesome? In God's presence is fullness of joy. How many people want a little bit of joy today? How many people could use a little joy in your life? Man, when you're laden with responsibilities and you are so tired at the end of the day, and in the midst of that thing, you could use a little power coming into you to lift your spirit up and energize you to face the day. Little bit of joy. I love joy, man. I love to laugh. I'm so glad Laura gave me that picture of Jesus with a smile on His face laughing out loud, because that's the Spirit. That's what the Spirit of God does. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," etc., etc. If the Spirit of the God was on Christ without measure, I think that was a man of joy. Yes, he was well acquainted with sorrows, but he knew how to endure those sorrows because of the joy that was inside of him and upon him. He had limitless fellowship with God. Now, in the Old Testament, man, you had to get religious to get that stuff. Now, you had to go through a long process. You had to make sacrifices. You know, you had to cut this animal in half and slit the throat of that other animal and take him to a certain place on a certain day, and they would do a certain thing and burn this thing up and, you know, do this thing to the other one. And then even then, the manifest presence of God dwelt in the holy place in the tabernacle, the Holy of Holies. You didn't even have access to that unless you were a special priest. So you could only get so close. You go through all that kind of stuff, killing that, bleeding that, sacrificing the other thing, and you only get in the outer court. You're not even allowed on the inside where the action's really happening. But in Christ, you don't have to go there to get that. That comes to you. In Christ, the Spirit of the living God that used to dwell and manifest upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies now comes to dwell inside of you, so that you can have fellowship with Him anytime, anywhere, any place. All you have to do is just go to Him in the Spirit and love on Him and worship Him and say, "God, come fill me." And as we draw near to God, what will He do? Draw near to us. Because of the resurrection, I have new fellowship. I can enjoy the person of God right here, right now. And as I offer my love to Him, and His love comes pouring down and fills me up from the inside out, that's priceless. That'll give you hope and strength. You ever need a little bit of hope? Glory to God. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Now, if you're a believer, I just want to encourage you today. God's promises to us are treasure beyond measure. And they're real. They are real. They're not pie in the sky. They're not some philosophy, not some wishful thinking. Wouldn't it be nice? And I just want to encourage you today, man, lay hold of the living God and let Him fill your life. Let Him become a living reality to you. If that's not a reality in your life, if you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never said, Lord, I believe, just come and take over, man. I'm giving up the steering wheel to You. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose from the dead, but I need You as my Lord and Savior to truly, once and for all, come and save me. If you have never done that, I would love to pray with you. When we dismiss, please come and see me so that we can pray together. If you mean business. If you mean business. But if you're here and you've been walking with the Lord, but you know life has just been beating you up and the enemy has just been kicking you around a little bit, and you'd love some ministry and some prayer so that this will become a reality in your life, I would invite you to come forward and let us pray for you so that God can break through that darkness and chains and come and bring His life into yours and fill you and flood you with His glory, because He so longs to do that, and Jesus paid such a price so that you could have that. That's how much He wants you to have that. So if anybody would like prayer today for one thing or the other, please don't miss this opportunity. Could the music ministry come up and just fill this atmosphere with the praises of God? Just some simple, gentle declarations of this God that we serve, man. If you're on the music ministry and you want prayer, stop before you get up there and let's pray for you. But anybody else that would like prayer, please, please, the power of God is present, it is real, and God loves to do good things for His people.